Okay, so here's what we're going to look at today. First, I want to say thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Mark Pittman. I'm currently the care director at Chick-fil-A in Garner. So if you ever come to Garner for Chick-fil-A, you can look for me. I'm there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at White Oak, and then Tuesday, Thursday at the Garner Town Square location. Because of working at Chick-fil-A, I've met Sherry and Adam and Andrew as well now. And through that connection, we got to talking about a particular my journey and a book that's been a blessing to me on my journey. Had a Bible study that we started. Sherry and Lee came to that, and through that, multiple conversations and coming to the church. And seeing, it's interesting how the Lord orchestrates events for us to be able to be together this morning. So I appreciate your graciousness in having me. Thank you so much for shifting around. And the first thing I want us to do is I want to give you the outline for this morning. Okay, here's where we're headed. Now there's some hand motions with this, so we're going to try to get the senses involved with this. Okay, it's not too complicated. I think I can handle it. So if I can, I'm sure you can. Okay. The first thing is take your finger like this, and you're pointing up to the Lord, okay? So let's say He. Can you say it with me? He. Okay? Okay, stop. You can rest your finger now. Okay, the next one is point right here. Say me.
Me.
Okay, me. One more time. Me. Okay, let's try it again. He. Me. Okay? Now let's put your arm like this. You don't have to put it next, don't. No cooties next door or anything. Put your arm like this and say the word we.
We.
We. Okay, one more time. Ready? We. There we go. Now, let's start. Can we put it all together? Here we go. He, me, we. Okay? Now, with both hands out like this, let's say the word free.
Free.
Free. Free. One more time. Ready? Free.
Free.
Okay? Can we put it all together? Here we go. Ready? He, me, we. Free. Now that's the message. Now we're going to fill in more stuff, okay? So don't start getting up. But it really centers around this, and I'm going to show you something on this. I appreciate your graciousness in moving over here so I can do this. But everybody see this?
Yeah.
What does that say?
Seeking Jesus.
Okay, so that's what we're going to be centering all this on. It's going to be around that phrase. Seeking Jesus, He, me, we, and free. The first verse we're going to look at has to do with He. When you think of seeking Jesus, is the word seeking an adjective or is it a verb? Okay? Is it an adjective or a verb? We have a verb?
I say verb.
Verb? Verb? Can it be an adjective? Okay? Well, let's start with that, okay? So the next thing we want to think, if I can make this work, okay? Turn to Luke 19:10 if you have that. Because seeking Jesus starts with being an adjective in this train of thought that we're going on today, okay? He. Remember the Bible story about Zacchaeus? Back up to verse 5 of Luke 19. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. I must abide in thy house. That was Jesus talking. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now the fact that you've made the effort to be here this morning, and the fact that you have an interest in being here to sing God's praises and to hear His Word would make us all think that most likely, perhaps, you've experienced a seeking Jesus. That you realize that the Lord is seeking you. If you're not born again this morning, He's seeking you. He came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. Now realize if a person is lost, let's say we lose something. When we lose something, we don't know where it is. Have you ever lost something and you don't know where it is? I've got this little thing on my keychain here that it's a toothpick. And you guys have one of these kind of little Swiss Army knife things? Got a little toothpick on it. I use that thing a lot. It's not the most sanitary thing, I'm sure, but nonetheless, the other day in my car, I've got this little place in my tooth where food just invariably gets caught. I don't know if you have any of those kind of places, but I have one of those. And I was trying to get it out, and as I'm driving down the road, I lost the toothpick. It went down into the abyss of the books between my two front seats in my van. I still don't know where that thing is. It is lost. I do not know where it is. But when Jesus is seeking to save that which was lost, it's not that He doesn't know where you are. If you're lost today, He knows exactly where you are. And He cares about you. Right where you are. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. People that realized that they needed a Savior. That they were lost. They didn't know how to find their way home. He's the one that's a seeking Jesus for you. That's where it all starts. Okay? So seeking Jesus, He. We got that? Now let's move to the next one. Me. That's where the verb comes in. Okay? So let's go back to that. And there's a seeking that's found in Hebrews 11:6. So let's turn there. Hebrews 11:6. And that is a verb. Hebrews 11:6 talks about the people that are seeking the Lord. By faith, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his works, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Don't you want to have that testimony? That person pleases God. And so often in our culture, in our religious culture especially, we are striving with everything we have to please God. We want to see a smile on God's face. We want to hear, well done. We want to please God. But understand, if our focus is primarily on pleasing God, we're going to be like that little hamster on that wheel, just spinning and spinning and spinning and working all we can in our own flesh to try to please a God that's already pleased if we're His child. He's already pleased. What He wants His children to do is to trust Him. See the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So He, it's an adjective, He is seeking us. I should be seeking Him. And seeking Him not in the sense of trying to make Him happy, because He already is happy with me if I'm His child, but seeking Him in a way that I need to put my trust in Him and recognize, God, I know You're here. I know You're with me. I know You want what's best for me, and I'm seeking Your will for this particular situation, whatever it may be. Seeking Him. So trust is involved. It really comes down to, are you trusting God or pleasing Him? Which one are you doing? Both are important, but you can't do one without the other. You can't please God without trusting Him. Now how does that work? Well, if you come to a fork in the road, you ever been to a fork in the road and you think, which way am I supposed to go? When it comes to our service for God and our relationship with Him, there's a fork. And it's really it's either F or K. It's either dependence upon Christ's life in you, the F, or striving to be like Jesus. Now, you can strive to be like Jesus in your flesh, and you'll never get there. Because it's all about you. It's not about Him. But if you have and you recognize His life in you, kind of like a glove. Wintertime's here, we put a glove on our hand. That glove just sits there on our table or something. It doesn't move because there's no life inside of it. But if you put your hand inside that glove all automatically starts, it can move. And it moves exactly the way the hand would want it to move. And so it is with us. If we have Christ's life within us and we depend and rest upon His life in us, then we're animated to be like Him, but empowered through His Holy Spirit. And that's what personal revival is all about. Not pleasing Him, but trusting Him. And then the pleasing comes. Okay? So let's move up to the next one. So we have He, me, and then we. Okay? So let's see. But you know what? We kind of missed something because we said seeking Jesus, but if you look real close, that can be three words, not just two, right? We can see King Jesus. We can see Him through the eyes of faith, through the difficulties that we face. We can see King Jesus. Now that's important. And let's see, can we think of a verse maybe that will point that out? Let's think about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 this morning. We. You see, you don't go through this life alone. You have the Lord with you. And because of that fact, you can rest in His care for you, understanding that He knows what you're facing. Proverbs 3, let's just start with verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And we talk about that. We can say that easy. We need to trust God. And then we think about it, and lean not into thine own understanding. You know, the things in life that sometimes we just can't figure out. And if all we're depending upon is our ability to pigeonhole it or figure it out or logically go through the progressions of what's happened or what needs to happen, sometimes it's just beyond us. We lean not into our own understanding. We just can't depend upon it. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He'll make the paths straight. In all your ways acknowledge Him. To recognize then in all of those points in time, Jesus is there. He is present with you. Do you realize, although we don't see Him with our physical eyes, Jesus is here today, right now. And He sees you, and He loves you. And it's as if He has His arm around you right now, saying, child, I love you. Right where you are, you don't have to do anything differently than where you are and what you are right now for me to love you. Now for us to mature, the changes that He's working on in us that we need to trust Him about, we're not all that we're going to be, but we are who we are in Christ, that He has His arm around us loving us and says, we are in this together. Acknowledge Him. Now, with that said, I want you to ever play the game Connect the Dots, where you look at dots on a page. It's kind of like this. There's all these little dots on a page. Dots. You know, what's the significance of all these dots that we see on a page? But let's I'm gonna see if I can get this to work like I want it to. See if you can notice the dots throughout your day. You may go to the store, get something at the grocery store. You may have a conversation with someone on the phone. You may listen to some music. You may have a conversation at work. You may talk to your spouse or talk to your kids, and you're trying to connect all those dots, and you think, what's going on in my life? What is really going on? How is this all going to make sense at the end of the day? What am I seeing in all this? Can you see anything there? Are we so aware of God's presence and His care because it's we that we see Him at every point in time? And when we connect all the dots at the end of the day, we can say, look, Jesus was there. Three weeks ago, I got up one Tuesday morning, went out to my car, and I had a flat tire. So I had to change the flat tire. And I've got one of those minivans that's got the stow-and-go thing. So it's not like you just flip the trunk and you take the tire out. No, it's in the middle of the car, near the front, and you have to turn this crank. Anybody ever had to do that to change that one? Maybe, yeah, you're with me, Ron. Okay? I had to change that thing and pull that thing out. I'm thinking, why now, God? What's going on? So I got the tire changed, went over. They were very gracious to take care of it for me at a place locally. I didn't miss any work time. It worked out, dovetailed with my work, actually, which is really cool. So the next day, I'm coming home from a fellowship time, instruction time I was with, and a Bible study thing. And I'm coming home, and I hit a deer. And there were two deer in front of me. The tail end of one was right in front of my driver's side. The head of one was on the passenger side. Well, the tail got past, but the head didn't. And that poor deer has a very serious headache, or no head at all. I don't know. I didn't stop to look. But it smashed the front end of my car. Now, Tuesday, flat tire. Wednesday, hit a deer. Went into the insurance agent. They were able to take care of everything, and $1,355 later, I think it was, they repaired the front of my car. And in the process, I didn't have renter's insurance, so what am I going to do about a car? But the place I took it to, they had a loaner car. So everything said and done, it didn't cost me anything except the gas to fill up the loaner car. That was pretty cool. Well, I guess it was Thursday. Guess what happened again? Another flat tire. So I go over, and all the ways acknowledge him, right? He's at work in all these circumstances. I go get the tire changed, and that little bitty knot, that little bitty mechanism that fits into the valve stem, you know, that little point that you push on if you want to let the air out, like a football or something like that, or you get the air out of it. That little piece was loose inside the valve stem, and that's why I lost all the air. They changed it all up, they fixed it all up, and as they were fixing it, they broke off something off my dash. So, and the guy that was fixing my car says, "Sir, I would replace it, but I don't make enough money here to replace that." And I'm thinking, okay. And I just bought him cookies to say thank you for fixing my other flat and this flat as well. And so the guy said, "Well, you tell us how much it costs and we'll take care of it." So I'm probably not going to worry about it. But it was just interesting to me that in the middle of all that junk that was going on, that was frustrating to me, I wasn't alone. It was we. And it's so often when we get in the frustrating times, we fail to see that God's still there. He hasn't gone anywhere. You say, "You don't know my circumstances. You don't know how alone I am. You don't know the burdens I face. You don't know the frustrations. You don't know the relationship issues, the financial issues. You just don't know how I feel physically. You just don't know, Mark." I don't. I don't. I don't. But God does. And I'm here to tell you, if we can open our eyes, we can see King Jesus at every point in time. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. So he is seeking you. Me, am I seeking him? We're going through this burden, blessing, weeping, rejoicing. We're going through this together. We're never alone. But then, the last point is free, right? Let's see what the scripture says about that. In Hebrews chapter 12, well, let me go back to the dots for a second. If you can think of the connecting all the dots and the way you get through circumstances like that, if you take the word dots and just put a word with each one of the letters, depending on the Spirit as you're going through those crises is really important. It's not about discipline for him, it's about dependence on him. and you can see him at work in every point. So seeking Jesus, it has to do with our focus. Our focus is on him. As you look at the passage in Hebrews chapter 12, the scripture says in Hebrews 12, and I'm going to get there in a second here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, a lot of people look at that verse and they think of, I'm in this big stadium and I'm on a track and I'm running around this track and all these witnesses are watching me run my race. And I'm a little paranoid because I know I'm not running fast enough. And I know I'm not running the race the way I ought to. And I know I'm not diligent enough. But man, they're watching me and I'm scared to death and I'm really frustrated and I don't really want them to watch me. I'm kind of embarrassed. You ever feel that way? Don't raise your hand, because then you'll be embarrassed, and I don't want you to do it. But what if we looked at that passage, and not so much as witnesses of us, but really I think the verse is more the word testifiers. They're testimonies of how faithful God is as we have faith in him. Because if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, all those heroes of the faith, it's kind of like the Hall of Fame. Years ago I went to Canton, Ohio. Anybody know what's in Canton, Ohio that's significant? Football Hall of Fame. There you go. The Football Hall of Fame. What was so cool about that experience was I got to go in there and I got to be amongst the cloud of witnesses. I got to see all these guys that had such a tremendous impact on the National Football League. And I love football. I grew up in Texas, played football when I was in high school at my Christian school, and it was just a big deal. And I just love football. And so to be able to go to that particular Canton, Ohio Hall of Fame, I could see all those testifiers of what football meant to them and what they meant to football. That was cool. But if we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we can see that there are tremendous examples of faith through that whole chapter. Of people that looked to Jesus, and they were faithful to Jesus, faithful to their God. Some of them in the Old Testament, not knowing Jesus, not knowing anything about Jesus other than the specific small aspects of prophecy that pointed to him. And those that were able to look forward in faith at what God was going to do, and keeping his promises. And we can look at those particular witnesses, not as so much an arena watching us, but we can be encouraged as we go through the halls and see all these pictures of Abraham and of Enoch and of Abel and David and Samson and all these folks that were Moses, people that were just demonstrations of faith, Rahab, people that put their trust in God in the midst of all kinds of horrible, difficult circumstances. They are witnesses for us to be encouraged by. So, we're so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us. Those encumbrances that, you know, people that run races, they don't wear three-piece suits, generally. They don't wear a backpack when they run a race around the track. They get apart with those things that are going to hinder their speed or their endurance. And those things that may damage them from running, they stay away, at least those that do it legally anyway, stay away from it because it's harmful to them. And so it's the same for us, to lay aside those things that are encumbrances or hurtful things. Run with patience the race that is set before us. But the verse doesn't stop there. The verse in the English does, but when it comes to the phrase and the thought, it says, running the race, looking unto Jesus. See King Jesus, right? Let's see him and realize how free we are in him. Free to run our race with him not so much sneering at us, but cheering for us. The one who completed the course saying, come on, son, come on, daughter, come on, I know you can do it. I'm right there with you as you're running your race. I'm not leaving you nor forsaking you, but there's a finish line out there. You're still on this journey. You're not at the end yet. Some of you are closer than the others, and it doesn't matter about age. We know that. But as we're journeying for the Lord, we're not alone. But we are free to run the race for Him. And He has inspired us to do it. The Christian life is less about requirement and more about inspiring us. There are requirements, but we need to be inspired to accomplish those things that are asked of us because God empowers us to do them. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the starter, and the finisher of our faith, the completer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you realize that as Jesus was going to the cross, there was something beyond the cross that He saw? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go to the cross. I wouldn't want to go through that. I mean, the things that I go through in life are tough enough, but to think about going through the cross, and not just the physical aspect of it, but bearing the sins of the world for them and not deserving it. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He endured the cross, but there was joy beyond that. There was joy beyond the cross because, you see, it didn't stop at the cross. There was the resurrection. He came alive again, and He lives today, and He lives in you and me if we're born-again believers. And He empowers us to do what we need to do every single day because we can't do it in ourselves. We are weak, and it's okay to feel weak because when you feel weak, then you depend upon His strength. Someone said, God is not about making us weak, but making us see our weakness. And He's not about making us strong, but empowering us with His strength. And when you have that type of attitude toward God, you can rest because the Scripture says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a seeking King Jesus that we need to do to realize that we are free in Him to do everything that He wants us to do. He empowers us to please Him. Will we trust Him to do those things? Look at verse 3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The answer to you being weary in the Christian life, the answer for you if you're just overcome with despair about some circumstance you're facing, the answer is to keep your eyes on the Lord. To see King Jesus in the middle of it all. It's so easy for us in our flesh to keep our eyes on our circumstances and not on the Lord. I understand that. You understand that. But can we be inspired today? Can we be encouraged today to keep our eyes on Jesus? He is a seeking Jesus. And he wants me to keep seeking Him. And we have the privilege of seeing King Jesus in every point in time as we see it all together where He is the ultimate picture. It's all about Him. And then we see King Jesus as we run our race. He's at the end of the race. He was at the beginning of the race. And He's in the middle of the race with us, cheering us every step of the way. He sees us when we fall. He knows we're going to fall. He knew it before He saved us. That's not an excuse to fall. That's just an understanding of how much He loves us. And if we were overwhelmed with how much God loves us in the midst of all the stuff that we struggle with, then we would be just really inspired and encouraged to say, look, these things that pull me away from God just really aren't that important. What do they do for me? They just cause this spiral of shame to get worse and worse and worse. Why am I attracted to that? This old flesh there's no good thing in this old flesh. So don't be surprised when there's a battle there. It always will be there till we get to glory. But remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. There is a victory that He has provided for each one of us. Are you seeking Jesus today? He is the author and finisher of our faith. He pioneered it, and He perfected it. Are you looking to Him? Will you consider him? And may this be said of each of us. Will you, seeking Jesus, as you're seeking Jesus, because he is a seeking Jesus. Realize that the things that you face, you're loved right in the middle of it. Not sentimental love that just syrupy, and I know we have all kinds of the love that is encouraged at Christmas time, and there's certainly appropriateness to that. Don't get me wrong. But the love that Jesus has for us is a choice. And real love is really a choice. It's less about emotion and more about choice. God chose to set his love upon you as an individual. And he took your punishment and your penalty and your hell for you so that you could be robed in his righteousness. Serving him not out of a burden of obligation, but out of an empowerment of his Spirit for you to do everything that will benefit you as you move through this race. He is a seeking Jesus. Me, I need to be seeking him. We are in this together. Jesus has his arm around you looking at all your stuff saying, son, I'm working on it together with you. And then you're free. You're free to do everything that you need to do to benefit yourself and others around you because Jesus lives within you if you're born again. What will you do with Jesus? He truly is a seeking Jesus today. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. We thank you for the reality of who you are, the reality of your love that is really overwhelming and should be overflowing from us. And I pray that you would encourage our hearts this day. Lord, I don't know all the circumstances that each person is facing. Some of us around Christmas time, finances are just a tough thing. Some of us just relational issues are just a tough thing. Some of us physically are just having a rough time right now and no one knows about it, but you do. Some of us spiritually are just really struggling with surrender to let go and let you have your way in their lives. Lord, I don't know what the needs are, but we thank you so much for the fact that you do. And you have your arm around us with a compassionate love that transcends any love that anyone or anything or any philosophy or any religion could ever provide. We have the privilege of relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray that as we've looked at your word today, that you would drive home to our hearts the he and the me and the we and the free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.